Good morning, everybody. We welcome you today, and we invite you to please stand up. Let's join together. God is for us.
Side. You will go before us, you will lead the way. We have found a refuge, only you can save. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Even when I stumble, and even when I fall, even when I turn back, still your love is sure. You will not abandon, you will not forsake. You will cheer me onward with never-ending grace. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Separate us, hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son to free us holds me in his love. Neither height nor depth can separate us, hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son holds me in his love. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Sing with joy now, our God is for us.
Takes one holy food and salvation. Jesus Christ is our foundation.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Timberwood Church. My name is Eric Holst. Great to have all of you with us this morning. Tis the season of Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and we have this wonderful gathering where we come and we give thanks and we sing songs and we read scripture and we meet new people. And we're going to do it slightly different this year. We're going to try something new or try something slightly different. So if you've never been to the Thanksgiving service, it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Love to have you come, join us, meet some new folks, share what you're thankful for. We are not doing the videos, so wah, 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 for all of you who are just like, this was going to be the year that I was going to do that video. Sorry to disappoint. But you can sign up. There's lots that goes into that service, including setup and cleanup and all these chairs and washing the carpets and bringing pie and all those things. So if you could just sign up for that, there's a QR code in your program that you can scan and sign up. Also, we have this wonderful opportunity for prayer setting up into the Advent season. So Advent starts November 30th. And so we're going to do another week of prayer. And the hope is that we can fill as many hours in that week going into Advent, the first week of Advent, with prayer. And you can sign up, again, through this QR code. Sign up for, maybe you pick every day, you're going to pick 6 a.m., and that's going to be your hour to pray every day. The church will be open. The prayer room that we created last year will be available during church hours, business hours. So if you want to come in and pray in that quiet space, love to have you join in on that. Last thing, but second to last thing, Wednesday night we're having an informational meeting. So if you'd like to come and hear an update on what's happening at Timberwood Church, that's going to be at 5:30. And then you're certainly welcome to stay for Wednesday night programming. Maybe your kids already stay and you could just stay with them. We got something in here for the adults. Also, after the second service, which is next service, there's going to be a lunch and a program celebrating John. So if you'd like to stick around or come back, you're certainly welcome to do that. Always, there's this card. Please do take some time to fill it out. Name, phone number, that sort of thing, email. Most importantly, if you've got a prayer request, praise, we'd love to pray for you, pray with you. So please feel free. We're not going to spam you with all sorts of stuff. Fill this card out. You can drop it in the offering after the service. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning declaring the truth that Jesus is our salvation and our foundation. And Father, because of that truth, we can trust in you. We can rest fully in who you are, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. And so this morning, Father, we come before you to worship you because you are worthy. We come as your body, declaring, Jesus, that you are our Lord. Spirit, we seek out your presence. We ask for you to immerse us in your presence this morning. Move in our midst, not only in this room, but as we get to interact in fellowship, that we would be a fragrant offering to you with our lives, not only here, but each and every day, as we seek to share the good news of the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a couple of songs that, as we sing, might give us the opportunity to call on the name of God for help, to ask for his perspective on our lives and things that are going on. So just invite you to embrace that as songs of prayer. So let's please stand together, Oceans.
You are mine.
way. My hallelujah, no darkness can contain. My hallelujah, your cross is made away. My hallelujah, my hallelujah. You give life no man can take. With power in hell could separate, and who could stand against your might? With armies of angels by my side, so I will run into the waves as courage comes to take fierce place with perfect love, perfect love. Oh, what can take away? Is made away. My hallelujah, my hallelujah. Nothing can take my hallelujah. Nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade, darkness will break, and I'll keep on singing your praise. Nothing can take my hallelujah, nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade, darkness will break, I'll keep on singing your praise. Nothing can take my hallelujah, nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade, darkness will break, I'll keep on singing your praise. Who can take away?
Applause coming. Keep it. Don't back off now. Come on. Come on. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. There's no reason to not have a good time. I'm going to set up camp here. Okay, that's enough. Let me get my pocket knife out, my little Otter Duluth pack. Oops. Ribinosho Elam Ani Shalka Viholamati Shalka Halom Kalante Vene Nini Yede Mahu. Perhaps you saw the musical. I've seen it a couple times. I've listened to it 1,000 times. Well, maybe 100. Hamilton. The pivotal moment, right, when Hamilton walks into George Washington's room and says, says, hey, there's news, right? Because Thomas Jefferson resigned this morning, and Hamilton's like, finally, we can take the, you go after him, right? You know, and George is like, no, we're not going to go after him at all. That's not what we're about, right? And so they sit down, and the line goes, one last time, relax, have a drink with me, one last time, before we teach him how to say goodbye. And it's this beautiful moment, right? It's this absolutely gorgeous moment. And so today, let's have a little fun, and let's say goodbye appropriately. I'm not very good at selfies, but I'd like one if you might indulge me. If you don't want to be in the selfie, then just like bow your head. That's totally cool with me. I got no problem with that. So I'm not very good at that. Oh, I can't even do it right there. Okay, there we go. I got to change it around. So, oops, I got to get my hand out of the way. Go like that. Whoop, go like that. And go like that. Beautiful. Thank you very much. So a little over a month ago, well, a little less than a month ago, it was my birthday, and I was out on a bike ride, and I was on the Jungle Trail in Vero Beach, Florida, and actually Orchid Isle, and I was having this great time, right? And I was on my bike, and I was flying, and this was the fourth time I'd been on this trail, so I felt pretty comfortable with it. And the Jungle Trail is what they call in Florida for gravel riders. It's champagne gravel. So it's super hard packed with this thin layer of sand over the top. But what that allows for a certain amount of rainfall is washouts and big pools of water. And so you'd include pools or encounter pools of water that were the length of the road, width of the road, and then 20 meters long. And the first time you go through it, you kind of gingerly pick your way through because you don't know what's there. And the third time you go through it, you're carrying a little bit more speed. And the fourth time you're through it, you're like, I can really go fast. So I was going fast. I was carrying a fair amount of speed. I was following the exact line I had on the way out. I thought I was safe. And all of a sudden, my front wheel stopped. And then the laws of physics kicked in. Actually, they had already been in play. Okay, I was just harnessing them to my benefit. And in that moment when my front wheel stopped, the laws of physics turned on me, right? And this thing that I love was suddenly turned into something that could be incredibly deadly. But luckily, I was going through water. And so as I go over the handlebars, I have a thought to myself. It's your birthday. You're doing something that you love. Tuck your chin and land softly in about 2 feet of brackish water. Well, what does it mean to love, right? We've defined love in the past as having the total commitment to the betterment of another. The text today from Matthew 22, Jesus is approached by a group of people who wanted to trap him, right? And the context of the reality is that there is like 619 commandments, okay? And 356 of them are negative commandments, things that you shouldn't do, okay? The balance are positive commandments, things that you should do. This was the state of religious affairs in the first century. It was a very top-down, very rules-oriented place, right? And so a Pharisee comes up and says, hey, which is the best one? And there's 619 or 617 wrong choices. And Jesus like said, no. Love God, love neighbor, love self. Over the past couple months, thank you for the time, I have encountered a translation of the Gospels by Sarah Rudin. And Sarah Rudin is a Quaker, okay, and Quakers are a little bit different. The cool thing about Quakers is that they don't have this, like, need to define everything, okay? But if you're going to pick up Sarah Rudin's translation, just be forewarned, she does take some liberties that you're kind of like, I'm not sure I would have done that. But she has this interesting take on this idea of the greatest commandment. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he told them, you are to love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart, the whole of your mind, the whole of your life. The greatest and chief command. The next is most important, is similar to it. You shall love the one next to you the way you love yourself. I love how that translation goes because it personalizes it, right? Greatest commandment, love the person next to you as you love yourself. Love God first. And often we start with love God first, and I don't want to dispute that at all, okay? Please understand. But if you permit me just a little bit of heresy, right? What if we start at the end? Because there's a fundamental problem that I think many of us possess, and certainly that I had in spades. The understanding that if you really knew who I was, you probably wouldn't love me, and I really didn't love myself. And when you don't love yourself, it's really tough to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't understand that love is the total commitment to the betterment of another, the love that the Father has for you and me, and if we don't understand we should be totally committed to the betterment of the person sitting next to us, and if we don't understand that we should be totally committed to the betterment of ourselves, we can't get it. If we don't understand what God has done for us and how he loves us, and if we don't understand, how do we embody this idea of love? And so I want to challenge myself more than anything else. And please understand, over 22 years, my sermons have always been to me first. I've never stood up here and said I had it all figured out. I've never stood up here and said I was perfect. That's not who I am, and I'm not going to start today. And I've been honest with my struggles. And this is a real one for me. How am I totally committed to the betterment of me? Because if I'm authentically committed to the betterment of me, then it becomes quite easy to be authentically committed to the betterment of the person sitting next to me. And we can say we love God, and those words can escape our lips, but Christianity, being a follower of Christ, is an action-oriented sport. Our behavior matters. Now, you might say, oh, well, if I just love myself, that will be, you know, I'll go off the rails. Yep, that can happen. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, the person who is totally committed to their betterment doesn't drink too much or doesn't drink at all. A person who's totally committed to their betterment, you know, treats physical intimacy with the respect that God accords it. The person who's committed to their betterment operates their business in such a way that reflects well upon the Savior. It's not a lower standard. It's not an Epicurean standard. It's not a libertarian standard. It's a very high standard. On August 2nd, 2025, Tanya and I are having dinner with Anna and David in Madtown, and we're at the Harvey House, large baked potato, and our server was Kennedy, and I said, hey, you know, because over the course of an evening with a server, you're engaged, and I said, hey, just write me a note for the fun of it. Who knows, you know? She writes, Pastor John, in life we must treasure moments that make us smile and surround ourselves with people that love first. That's beautiful. The things that we love give a sense of who we are. And how we love ourselves is really the blueprint for how we love the person sitting next to us. And all of that doesn't begin with us. It begins with God. God loves first. God acts first. God redeems first. God restores first. Second chunk of scripture, Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Go and preach and baptize. Again, deferring to Sarah. And again, there's probably much in her translation that you would say, wait a second. But she translates it like this. Then Jesus came near and spoke to them, saying, all authority in the sky and on the earth has been given to me. So set off on your journeys and make all nations students, baptizing the people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Life Breath. I like that emphasis that she provides for the Spirit, like the Holy Life Breath. Every breath that we take is a gift from the Spirit. And teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And look, I am with you always, through all the days, until the era comes to fruition. Set off on your journeys. Tell people. Week one, when we were in Hvar, Croatia, we stopped at this little winery, and we had this wine tasting, and that was cool, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I met a guy by the name of Stipa there, and Stipa is this interesting individual. Native Islander, and so we engage in a nice conversation, and he's really not working for a tip because it's not a big tipping culture in Croatia. He's just a nice guy. And so I'm like, hey, we're here for a month, and where can we get good meat? He's like, okay, I'd go to this meat market, and da-da-da. And then he's like, do you like wild boar? I'm like, sure. He's like, well, my dad hunts wild boar on the eastern edge of the island, and would you like to buy some wild boar from my dad? You know, and I'm like, sure, sounds great. Now I'm in, and then he tells me the price, and it was like, it was 15 euros a pound, which wasn't crazy, but he sold me 5 pounds. So it was like, it was enough money to make you go, huh, okay, well, at any rate. I'm like, how do I make the wild boar? And he's like, excuse me. He's like, oh, I forgot to throw out my fireballs. Oh, I got to remember to do this. This is beautiful. Opinel, one of the great French knives that exist out there. Do you like fireballs? That smells so... Okay, now please keep your eyes up because these are literally 50 caliber projectiles. I kid you not. This is... I don't know if I can get all the way back there. Did it hit someone? Okay, good, because I warned you. Isn't that cool? I walked into Candyland this week, and I'm like, do you have fireballs? And they're like, yeah, we think we have some in the back. So he brings out the thing, and he's like, how many do you want? I'm like, all of them. I got to save some for the second service. But one more big handful for this service. Anyone that didn't get a fireball that really wants one? So at any rate, aren't they good? They're just so, you know, no? You don't have to. Any, who else? Anyone else on this? Oh, jeepers. Okay, I'm almost out. Oh, that's it on this side. Okay, so Stipa, goatee, nice guy. He says, my father makes hunter stew. How about on this side? Anyone need? Okay, I'm just going to go like this. And so he's like, I'll see if my dad will give me the hunter stew recipe. And glad I rode as much bike as I did. Okay, I'll come over that way. Oh. We're going to go over time. What are they going to do? Oh, there you go. So, Stipa gets a recording from his dad of his hunter stew. And and translates it for me because it was a recording. And so I make the hunter stew. Yes, please. You're welcome. So I make it, right? And it's like 7 pounds of wild boar. He gave it to me, bone on, everything. So I had to debone it and all that kind of stuff. And then it's sauteed onions and carrots. And then a liter of wine. but the booze cooks off. So it's like, even if you're, it's like, it's no danger, right? So I make the stew. I think it tastes good, maybe a little sweet. So I bring it back to Steve and said, hey, what do you think? And as he tastes it, there was some other guests in his establishment. And they're like, what do you got? And I'm like, I have Hunter's stew. And the couple were from Scotland. And so we dished up two bowls. And the guy said, I'm a pescatarian. And I said to him, don't worry, the boar swam here. You got to know what pescatarian means. You can look it up at home. The conversations that we have, the books to read, the things that we do. You might submit doing the right things is the most important thing, but I would submit to you doing things the right way is more important. You might say, oh, I should read the right books. I'm like, I think you should read books in the right way. Like, I think a poorly written book read in the right way is better than a well-written book read in a wrong way. I think you can do the right things in life for the wrong reasons, or you can live life in such a way, living the right way, reading the right way. The Great Commission is about activity. I've given my working life to these verses. My doctoral program, we spent 3 years studying these verses. They are the last verses that Jesus Christ gave us. It's the basis for Timberwood Church, to make disciples, to go and preach and teach and baptize. It's something that I will carry in my heart for the rest of my life. Something that I encourage you to embrace with the rest of your lives. It's why I buy wild boar from a kid that I'll never see again. The ability to influence for the cause of Christ, even in a small way. It's the reason why I ask a young woman at a restaurant, sharing just enough. As stated, I've enjoyed the musical Hamilton, and specifically that moment in time where he's conducting his farewell address. I'll thank you for that text, and maybe a little bit. His remarks, which were actually never publicly spoken by him, that's misunderstood. They were printed. And the decision was unique, right? Because he could have run for a third term. There's no prohibition against that at this time. But he set the standard, right? The last few paragraphs. Though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error, I am nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors. I think I could have wrote this. Whatever they may be, I fervently beseech the Almighty to avert or to mitigate the evils to which they may tend. I shall also carry with me the hope that my country will never cease to view them with indulgence, and that after 45 years of my life dedicated to its service with an upright zeal, the faults of incompetent abilities, I could give you a list, will be consigned to oblivion, as I myself must soon be to mansions of rest. Relying on its kindness in this as in other things, and actuated by that fervent love towards it, which is so natural to a man who views it the native soil of himself, this place will forever be home. I anticipate with pleasing expectation that retreat in which I promise myself to realize without alloy the sweet enjoyment of partaking in the midst of my fellow citizens, the benign influence of good laws under a free government, the ever-favored object of my heart, you, and the happy reward, as I trust, of our mutual cares, labors, and dangers. George Washington, 19 September, 1796. One last time. The Hebrew poem that I started this morning with, I got assistance from my Hebrew mentor. His name's Joel. He's an Ashkenazi Jew, Canadian by nationality, although he holds dual citizenship in Israel, fluent in Hebrew. He has the eyes of a master. He has the voice of a rabbi. He has a lifetime of experiences, both good and bad. Ribono Shel Olam. In the book that I found it in, Annie Dillard's book, this is translated Holy One of Being. Joel said that's actually a bad translation. It should be Master of the World or Master of the Universe. The second line, Ani Shelka Vahalomati Shelka. I am yours, and my dreams are yours. Chlom chlamte, I have dreamt a dream. Vaya nani yode mahu, and I don't know what it means. And then Joel paused, and he said to me, I think that this poem is very appropriate for you at this portion of your life and what you are experiencing. He said, with one exception, and I think the exception applies to everyone in this room. He's like, I do think you know what the dream means. The dream means you're in transition. And then with a pause that only a guy who's got more gray hair and a gravelly voice, a big, huge pause. And he says, and God is protecting you. And that's true for me, and that's true for you, and that's true for us. What exists in this space is absolutely beautiful. Please, please, do everything that we can to support these efforts, to fulfill the invitation of Jesus, to orient our lives to the greatest commandment and to the Great Commission. Father, we come. This is a beautiful place with beautiful people. And in this time of transition, O great God, we embrace with hope what you have for us. And the uncertainty with which we should live our lives every day, an uncertainty that causes us to depend upon you. Let us not be afraid of the future. Let us not be afraid of learning. Allow us, O great God, to embrace you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
We invite you to please stand. Let's respond together. This we believe, that we have a Father, Creator who was, and who is, and will be, who sent us his Son, and poured out his Spirit, with power to heal, resurrect, and redeem. The song of the saints forever will be.
Glory to God the Father. Glory to Christ the risen one. All hail the King.
This we believe, our King is returning, and He will wipe every tear from our eyes. Our crown's at His feet, His throne at the center, the song of the saints forever will rise. Amen.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the no, could my tears forever flow? Not for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and now alone.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.